We're doing it. Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. It's your old pal, Bran, with a special guest. Special guest, say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Now, you might know that voice if you are from Summit Spartanburg.
That's right.
But if you're not from Summit Spartanburg, you might be wondering, well, who's that? Who's that handsome sounding voice?
That's super kind, because I've been told that I have a face for radio.
Oh, well, I don't think that's true. I do. I do, because of the amount of hair in which is on my face. But please introduce yourself, Kyle.
Yeah, my name's Kyle. Kyle Caton. I'm the campus pastor at Summit Spartanburg. And my wife and I have been at Summit for about 2.5 years. And we love Summit Spartanburg. Love it a lot.
Well, you should, because it's a good place.
It's a really good place.
I got to go out there last week, I think, right?
We did. We had a blast.
Yeah, it was a blast. Now, Kyle, tell the people some things about you. You're from Ohio originally.
I am. Yep.
What was it like growing up in the cornfields? With all
more,
the corns.
More like rolling hills. Like cows significantly outnumbered people.
Okay.
I grew up in the sticks, man. Like I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I think I graduated from a public high school with 56 kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty small, and all of my family is from there, and love Ohio State, all things Buckeyes, because I'm from Ohio, you have to, I think I can say that on this podcast.
Yeah.
We lived in Chicago for a couple years.
Chicago.
Yep. Miss the food a lot more than I miss the weather.
Okay.
And I have a little girl, and another one coming.
Oh, boy. Did you just make that announcement?
Really exciting. Yeah.
Did you decide to do the baby announcement on the podcast? Is this the first time you announced it?
First time.
Wow.
Yeah, big deal.
Lots of people do, like, pictures or something like that.
This is so much easier.
So the drive time. Now, Jason's not here. He's on his way to Pennsylvania.
Correct.
I just wanted to call him.
I love this.
And then we can both say hi to him, because I know how excited he is that you're going to be on the podcast. So we're calling him up. Live here on the podcast. Let's see if he answers. He typically doesn't for me.
So nervous.
Now, Brando, you're on live with all the boys here. I'm in Virginia. I can't use my handheld device.
Why? Okay. You're on the Summit Drive Time podcast.
Right now I'm on the podcast?
Right now.
Well, that means Kyle and Grayson are also on the podcast.
Say hi, everybody.
Hi, Brandon.
Is this
podcast supposed to be out a little earlier today? Are you running behind because I wasn't in town?
Yes, it's actually all because of you.
Yeah.
But well, it's going to be okay.
I think Jason's hands currently aren't at 10 and 2. I think the faithful listeners know that. So this is kind of fun. We're doing the podcast while I am driving. So I'm going to drive down with Jason and Pat while I'm driving down the road. Currently in Virginia.
Good. Now, I'm talking with Kyle Caton. I'm about to talk to Kyle Caton about Hosea. Is there anything that you wanted to ask him since you're not here?
No, I didn't want to ask him a single thing. I don't even know why you're calling me. I thought I had the day off.
Oh, sorry. I'll leave you to it, Jay.
All right, see you guys.
Bye, everybody. What a guy.
What a guy.
He's always willing to chip in.
He is.
That's what he's known for. Now, Kyle, I brought you here today not just because I needed a sidekick, but because at all of our campuses over the next couple weeks, we're starting a brand new series.
We are.
We are walking through the book of Hosea. Now, a lot of people were just like, oh, boy. Like, they don't know what to do with it. So what I wanted to do today is spend some time talking a little bit about why Hosea.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about the kind of the way in which we're going to go about it thematically and all that good stuff. So why Hosea, Kyle?
Yep, that's a great question. Maybe, can I back it up just a little bit?
Yeah, back it up.
Because I think some people, and it's a fair thing, would say, all right, why are we spending a significant amount of time? Because we're going to be in Hosea for 9 weeks. So why are we going to spend a significant amount of time in this kind of obscure Old Testament book to begin with, right? Because I don't know how many of you are like this, but I'm probably guilty of this at times. I think about the Old Testament, especially stuff like, you know, like Old Testament minor prophets. I think about it like I think about a salad before I eat a really good dinner. In that I just want to get through it so I can get to the stuff I'm really excited about.
Right.
Right. So it's like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then it's like, well, there's this giant list of books before you get to Jesus. Cause the Old Testament's pretty significant.
You might be like me and you just don't eat the salad.
That's a fact. I don't believe I've ever seen you eat a vegetable in
my
life.
Not interested.
Yeah. I've been friends with you for a while now.
Yep.
But that's how we think about the Old Testament a little bit, and probably how we think about Hosea. And what I hope that we're able to do over the next couple of months is allow our people, because it's been like this for me as I've been studying it, to see what a really beautiful picture of God's love the book of Hosea presents for us, why it's so significant to our understanding of who Jesus was and what Jesus did, and kind of the cultural and religious water that Jesus was swimming in. It just brings all of that to life. And so I think it's going to be a really, really sweet time, because the book of Hosea is, maybe a lot of us know the general outline of the story, mm-hmm. right? This guy marries this unfaithful wife, and it's this picture of God's relationship with Israel. And while that's absolutely true, that's the first three chapters or so of a 14 chapter book. And so there's a lot to dig into there. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, maybe you can help give a little bit of a background about Hosea, and maybe catch people up to speed, if you will, on what kind of how did this book even end up in scripture, the importance of it, when it happened, all that kind of good stuff.
We going through like the full canonization process?
We are. We actually are. How did that happen?
Wow. How about this? How about after we have like King Saul, right, and
sure.
King David,
sure,
and then we have King Solomon back in the day, about 3,000 years ago or so, the kingdom of Israel actually split up around 930 BC. There was a fight between one of Solomon's sons, a guy named Rehoboam, and then a guy named Jeroboam. And so the kingdom splits. I did it. I went there. Nerd. And it splits into these two, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And so both of those, in various ways, both of those kingdoms have to battle against idolatry, not mm-hmm. very successfully. Like, they're idolaters, like we all are. But the book of Hosea comes about in the mid-8th century BC. There's this prophet named Hosea who is kind of speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel right before they're going to be destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. And because of their idolatry, because of their unfaithfulness to the covenant that God made with Israel, he's letting them know, hey, because you've broken this, ultimately God's judgment is going to come down on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of operating in the initial death throes, if you will, of the northern kingdom of Israel, warning them of what's to come, warning Judah in the south that they need not be like their brothers and sisters to the north, but it's coming.
Well, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. I think it's fascinating anyway.
Now, if you're still with us, what I'd like to talk about is kind of the where we're going theologically almost. You mentioned that a lot of people know the first three chapters of this book, but there's so much more to it. And we're going to spend more than 3 weeks in this series.
We are.
So I don't want you to give it all away.
Sure.
But kind of what was the thought process as we were planning out?
We're going to be here for nine weeks. Yeah.
So kind of walk through, maybe take people behind the curtain. What goes into planning a series like this, and how you kind of go through chapter by chapter and chunking it up a little bit with a book like this?
Yeah. So I feel like with something like this, it's really interesting because, number one, more than anything else, we want to be faithful to the text, right? Like,
right.
We want to say what God's word says. And then beyond that, we have a schedule, and we have like certain time limits that we can spend in a book. Theoretically, anyway.
Right.
And so in this instance, like, we wanted to dive into the text and recognize that it's going to take some time to kind of build the foundation and give folks an understanding of, okay, like, this is not a book that people spend a lot of time in, probably. This
right.
isn't somewhere that a lot of people have camped or done lots of Bible studies around Hosea or other minor prophets. And so we wanted to kind of take people into the world of the Old Testament in a way that we haven't at Summit in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just honestly, when we first laid out that we were going to do Hosea in the fall, and I was given the task of kind of breaking the series down for us, I read Hosea a lot for like a couple of months. I would just, our house is like a little circle, and I would just pace and read Hosea out loud to myself, because you do that. Like, this is a book that was intended to be read out loud. And so you do that, and you get a sense of what the author is saying as they're compiling these prophecies from Hosea. It's helpful. You begin to understand what exactly is happening. So, for instance, like the last chapters 4 through 14, they almost read like a little bit of a court case, right? So the first three chapters are the story of Hosea and Gomer and kind of setting the stage for what God's going to say. And under the undercurrent underneath everything is the covenant that God has with his people. And so you get to chapter 4 and Hosea, the Lord through Hosea, begins to lay out all of the ways that the people of Israel have been unfaithful, increasingly unfaithful. And because of their unfaithfulness, then ultimately God's judgment is going to come on them. And so we're going to get into things like the significance of the fact that God is just. We love the love of God, right? Like that's our tag. Line, right, is the pursuing love of a faithful God. We love the love of God. We sing about the love of God, but we don't get to have a loving God without also having a just God. And so we're going to dip our toe in that water as we dive into Hosea a little bit. But at the kind of the foundation of all of this is the covenant, right? The relationship that God has with his people. And as we go through, we'll see the ways that God, in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness and his pursuing love for them, anticipates the coming of Jesus, anticipates the gospel.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that people might say in regards to these type of books in the Old Testament that they're difficult to read.
Sure.
There's lots of phrases and words that you're just like, I don't even know what they're trying to say here.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're doing that I think is going to be really helpful is we're putting together a help guide almost.
Yep.
With some terms that with some definitions to help give definition to what they're reading.
There it is.
But also some tips and tricks for reading this book. So Kyle, if you don't mind, maybe we can go into that a little bit. So as people are joining us and reading Hosea, maybe over the next 9 weeks, what are some tips that you might give them for reading a book like this that's maybe a little bit different than reading a New Testament book or something that we might read on a more regular basis?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. And we do, like, at the end of the day, we love studying and teaching books like this, but our ultimate goal is that we desire our people to be in the Word for themselves, right?
Yeah.
Listening to the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And so I think like the first thing that, and this is overly simplistic, so forgive me for saying it, but spend time immersed in Hosea.
Hmm.
Like we're reading through Hosea for a reason, and we trust that the Spirit of God is going to work in and through our time there. So spend time there. I'm not saying you have to read it every day, but spend time in Hosea, read it. If you have the time, it'll take you, a significant chunk of time. It'll take you 45 minutes, but read through all 14 chapters at once, because then you begin to get a feel for the full weight of what it is that our author is trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's thing number one. Number two, one of the things that we tried to put together for folks is like a key terms list,
mm-hmm.
to let us know like, hey, these are, because there are lots of place names and like we don't tell you how to pronounce them, so good luck with that. But
just make it up,
just go with it, come tell us what it is, and we'll just try to say new things
there
in new ways every
was
Sunday.
I was looking at today, it was what was the I
it was
wanted
Gilgal
to say, yeah,
was
and
place.
I said I'm gonna pronounce it Giggle.
And Giggle, that's
just
right,
because it'll make me laugh a little bit. And
I
the
giggle,
Lord knows,
I giggle all the time. I think he's got a sense of humor, I think he's good with it.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
but so we've got this list of key terms that are just hopefully they're helpful little descriptions of some place names and the significance of those place names within the context of Hosea, so that when you're going through, you don't have to constantly be going to like a concordance or some reference work. You can open the page and be like, oh, that's where Shechem is or whatever.
Yeah.
That's why he's talking about that. So that's another one. And then we've laid out some, you know, theological themes that Hosea drives at, some references from the Old Testament or from other places in the Old Testament and the history of Israel to provide maybe a fuller background and context to what's going on, because this is the history of a people. It's not just occurring in a vacuum. And so I hopefully all of those items in this little help guide that we put together and have put together for the people are a helpful way to actually get into the Word of God for yourself.
Yeah, and you mentioned reading it out loud.
Yeah.
Another awesome tool, and we've talked about this before, it's listening to Scripture.
Absolutely.
As you commute or whatever, the Bible app that most people have has built-in audio that you can listen to as you drive around. So that's another really cool cool way in which you can immerse yourself, as you said, in this passage. Kyle, one last question for you. What would you say would be your prayer for the people of Summit? Not just going into this, but as we get to the end of it, what are you praying that the people of Summit get out of a series like this, walking through the book of Hosea?
Yeah, I think more than anything else, I'm praying that our folks continue to encounter radically this beautiful, transformative, pursuing love of God, right? Mm-hmm. You can read Hosea a little bit like a mirror, because we see in ourselves, in our own lives, we know the ugliness of our sin, the skeletons that we have in our closet. And so to have in Hosea both, like, to be confronted with the reality of that sin, and we're going to have to deal with that, but then ultimately also to hear the promise of God's pursuit of his people, his love for his people, and to look at that through the lens of the gospel, and to know that in Jesus Christ we are whole. In Jesus Christ we are eternally loved. I think that's going to be a really life-giving thing for our congregation, and I think it's going to be a really cool opportunity to maybe combat some misconceptions that the God of the Old Testament is just this God of wrath, mm-hmm. you know, who's hateful and ugly. He's different than Jesus. He's different than the God of the New Covenant, the New Testament. And what we see in Hosea is that that's fundamentally false. And so in addition to, like, encountering this beautiful love of God, I hope and believe that our folks will learn to love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, but see the value and the beauty of reading it and reading it well. So those are some of the things that I'm praying for our people.
And for those of you that are like, man, this sounds like a lot. Well, at the end of this, we're going to be starting our Advent series. And so we'll get to talk about baby Jesus.
Which means what, Brian? What's coming?
Christmas.
How many days?
99 days. We're in the double digits. It's happened, everyone.
I said it from the stage a couple of weeks ago at Summit Spartanburg. I've never met a human being who loves Christmas more than this man.
Well.
And it's just a joy. So really excited.
Well, Kyle, it was a joy to have you on the podcast. Is there anything you want to plug? Is there anything else you want to tell? Maybe some shout outs?
Shout out to my wife. I feel like I might get in trouble if I don't say that, right?
Shout out to her.
I outkicked my coverage. She's the best. No, that's about it. All the Good. People at Summit Spartanburg, I Good. Love you. I love all the people of Summit. I feel like I've been focused on Summit Spartanburg, but it's all the peoples of
everybody.
Summit. Everybody.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back next week with another Summit Drive Time. I think Jason's going to be back. I don't think we give him another Monday off. That'd be wild. Until then, drive safely.
Drive safely, please.
Any quick driving tip?
No, I like the 10 and 2 thing. Don't text and drive. That bothers me.
It really is.
Please don't text and drive.
Just stop it.
Stop it.
I would never. All right, that's it. Bye, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye.